Nothing has really changed in Ann and I's life. She's pregnant with twins, but we don't want anybody to know. She just ran out screaming, "No, no, not me!" You know, we read the Bible, and we read things we've read before, right? But sometimes something stands out that you never saw before in a scripture, right? So tonight I'm going to read a scripture that we've read many times before, but something stood out to me that I've never seen before. So I'm starting in 2 Corinthians 9:6, and I'm in the NIV. And it says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." So what do those two verses tell us? They basically just say, you know, this is what God wants to bless. He wants to bless people who are cheerful givers, right? Now I'm going to jump down to verse 10, and verse 10 says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." Amen. Who did God say he would supply seed to?
The sower.
The sower, right? In other words, the first two verses in this passage are telling us that God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, be a giver, be a sower, right? And then God promises something, but this is what I never realized. He promises seed to those who accept the first two scriptures to give generously. He supplies seed to the sower. So if you are a sower, if you are a person who has determined in your heart, now, okay, a sower is just a person who has decided they're going to give, right? Not a person necessarily who's decided to tithe, because tithe is different than giving, right? So here is a person, a guy, a girl, who said in their heart, you know what? God laid it on my heart to give, I'm going to give. And then the next time God lays it on their heart, they say, I'm going to give. You know, and they become a giver, which the Bible calls a sower, right? And God makes a promise here. He said, I will supply seed to those who decide to sow. And I thought that was a real revelation to me. You know, I hate to say this, but it's why some people never get past zero in their lives. Okay, why they always struggle with finances, why they're always stumbling around, because somewhere in their life, they have not decided to take God's challenge and be a giver. Take God's challenge. How about this? Take God at his word. The Bible's true. And if God says he'll supply seed to the sower, he will. And if God says he loves a cheerful giver, he does. Right? And I thought that was fantastic, because when you become a giver, when you become a sower, God promises you that he will give you seed to sow. And then the scripture goes on to say, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Right? So the seed comes in, the seed goes out, and people are blessed through you. But it's really from God, isn't it? But it's through you. And that's how God ministers to everyone in the world. It's through us, through people who decide to give, people who decide to listen to the Lord when he speaks to them. Okay? So let's pray. Lord, we thank you very much, God, that you have promised us seed to the sower. God, help us all to be those kind of people, to be sowers in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Before Pastor Ricky gets up, we have an announcement. Sister Richard.
Amen. How y'all doing? Outstanding. Amen. Hallelujah. So those messages, we didn't have the recording right from the Prosperity Truths, but Brother Clint was able to pull them up, so we have them. Thank God. Amen. So we're super excited about that. Thank God that we're able to get them. Amen. He's up here for a little bit yesterday, scratching his head, but Holy Ghost helped him out, and he got it done. Amen. Sorry. Earl was talking. Lord was giving me some more stuff, so amen. Don't be too excited. Calm yourselves. Breathe. Focus. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, y'all ready? We'll pray. Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name. We thank you for another opportunity to gather around your word with like believers. And I thank you, Father God, not what I'd want to say this evening, but Father God, not Ricky's will, but your will this evening. Everything that you would not only have for this congregation, but also for me, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, for the Holy Ghost, the teacher, the helper. And I thank you, Father God, he will reveal truths to us from your word this evening. And my tongue will be as the pen of a ready writer. Hallelujah. It won't be speaking things from experience or things that I've, from Ricky's, but it'll be speaking things from the word, the truth, Father God. And we thank you for it. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for it in advance, Father God. We thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to be able to feed our faith around the like believers. Thank you, Father God, for building to come in this heat. Thank you, Father God, for AC. Thank you for vehicles that we were able to own and to get here in with AC. Thank you, Father God, we don't have to walk no more. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And everybody agreed, said amen. Amen. All right. So what did I call this? Miss Diana? Don't give up on your faith. Amen. Where's my? It's don't give up on your faith. You can write that one down, or you can write, are you going to give up on your faith? Yes, you had both of them. Thank you. So don't give up on your faith, or are you going to give up on your faith? Y'all get that? There's a lot of the accent and them words just didn't work for me for a minute, but we got through it. Too many vowels. Too many. Thank you. I'm not talking to Steve no more. So I'm amen. Hallelujah. That Bluetooth, is it on back there? Okay, I'm gonna let y'all listen to something real fast. It's this young. That's it. Yes, Father. I'm gonna let y'all listen to this for a minute. It's a testimony from this young man.
It's the start of the football season, and I just bought my new cleats, bought my gloves, and it was like the second day of practice, and I just didn't feel like I belonged there anymore. So I knew then that I wanted to go to college. I didn't know what college. So I put like all my focus on school, and I started studying more. I started reading more. So my dad gifted me a Dreams and Goals book, and he encouraged me to put all my dreams and goals in there, to get pictures, to put it in there. So I got a picture of a penny bank, and I put it in there, and I said, I'm believing God to have all my college paid for. as soon as I started middle school, and then even when I started high school, that's when I started looking at colleges, which one I wanted to go to, and I quickly chose Stanford. It seemed like it was impossible. Their acceptance rate was like 5%, and it was 65,000 a year, so to me, I thought it was pretty impossible. Growing up, my parents told me, you know, believe God for what you need and that He can make it happen. So to me, on the natural, getting to Stanford was impossible, but I knew that with God, I can get in. So it was going into senior year when it all became very real. I realized that I would be applying to colleges like in the next month or so. And it made me kind of like really anxious. And I started wondering how exactly I was going to get into Stanford.
How many of us have been there? So he said it started off in middle school. Dad gave him a vision board, said, well, if you want to go to college, you know, make a vision board. Figure out where you want to go and start believing God for it. And so he made a vision board, put a penny bank on there, right, on his vision board. And then he got to high school, and he said, and then it became surreal, you know, because now we're down to, well, I got to start picking colleges. And then the thoughts come, how am I going to pay for it?
Yes.
How many of us have been there?
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm believing God for this. How is this going to happen? I'm believing God for my healing. How am I going to be healed, though?
Yes, sir.
It's those questions that'll hinder us if we allow them.
Yes, sir.
Right? Let me open it. I stopped it. We're back. Thank God none of y'all fainted.
I started to lose sight of my dream. I started losing sight of what God told me, and I started focusing on what I could do for myself, which was getting into a college that I thought I could get into that would be a reasonable price and I could get automatic acceptance into. And to me, it kind of like took the place of Stanford. It was like, okay, this is more of a college that I thought I could get in. How exactly I was going to get into Stanford.
Now listen.
I started to lose sight of my dream. I started losing sight of what God told me. And I started focusing on what I could do for myself, which was getting into.
He said, I started losing sight of Stanford. And I started focusing on what I can do. What I can afford. What I think I can get into.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Whenever you dream big, it always throws up almost a blinder in front of your face.
That's right.
And it's hard to see it, but you got to get past it.
Yes.
You can't continually see yourself where you're at. If you're sick, continually look at yourself in the mirror. Thank you, God, I am the healed.
Yes.
Thank you, God, I am the healed. I am well. Thank you, God, I don't live in lack. Thank you, God, I live a victorious life. Thank you, God, I'm not under depression.
Yeah.
He started looking at things that he could pay for.
A college that I thought I could get into that would be a reasonable price and I could get automatic acceptance into. And to me, it kind of like took the place of Stanford. It was like, okay, this is more of a reasonable goal that you can get into. And then I kept hearing something like, you know, like, what are you doing right now? Like, I didn't feel like this was right. I felt like I could hear God tell me, like, what happened to Stanford? What happened to you believing me for your dream goal to get into Stanford? And that opened my eyes, and it allowed me to realize that my focus had been diverted from my original goal. It gave me like new strength to recognize that, you know, God can still do this. I started my application, did my essays. I was going through them. One of the essays was actually talk about something that's very important to you. And for me, the first thing in my heart was God. So I talked about God, and I talked about how He gave me strength every day. And then He's ultimately the reason that I was alive. And I submitted my application. And after that, I was just praying. I was asking God. I was like, okay, I've done all I can do. It's up to you now. But I had faith that He would do it. I started confessing scriptures. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. So like every time that thought came up, I knew that God was going to take care of it.
After submitting his application, Anthony felt confident that God was going to make his dream a reality.
Yeah.
He spent the next...
Amen. So he ended up getting in Stanford. And got full scholarship, didn't have to pay a penny. Got into Stanford, got a full scholarship, didn't have to pay a penny. But if Satan could have convinced him, look, are you, You really think, I mean, do you want to put your parents in a bond? Are you in a bond trying to get into this college?
Yeah.
You really think you can afford that house or that new car? You really think that God wants you healed?
Yeah.
But once you get that determined, you get it settled.
Amen.
Yes, he does. Yes, God does want me living in overflow. Yes, God does want me living in victory. Yes, God does want me living in divine health. You just settle it. Well, what if sickness comes? Who cares? Don't say I don't have sickness. You can't deny something. You can deny the right to stay, but don't say, well, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, if you're not feeling well. Just deny it the right to be in your body, right? And keep moving forward. Amen. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 13, please, about verse 5. Will you pull it up in the Amplified, please, ma'am? 2 Corinthians. I just packed that. What happened?
It's back on.
It's back on. You're welcome. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Test and evaluate your neighbor, your spouse. Who? Yourself. I love that the Bible always goes back to the individual. Always. Always goes back to the individual. Because we have to do something as well. We have to do our part.
Yes.
Amen. Test and evaluate who?
Yourselves.
To see whether you are what?
Living.
Are living your lives as committed believers. Amen. Examine yourselves, not me. Amen. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves? By an ongoing experience that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test and reject as counterfeit. Amen. But when's the last time we've did a checkup on ourselves and said, am I in faith?
Amen.
Am I in faith? Am I in faith in this situation? Am I truly in faith?
Yep.
Yes.
Or have I backed off? Is that dream still, that big dream still in front of me? Or have I backed off and said, you know what? I've been believing God for this for a while. I can settle with something a little whatever.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Or is that dream still there?
Amen. Yes, sir.
It's questions we got to ask ourselves.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Am I still going? Just full tilt after God? Is the hunger still there? Because I can't stir up the hunger in you. And once again, individuals. It's our own selves. We have to stir that hunger up on the inside of us. Amen? Test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you are in faith or living your lives. Right? I've wrote down a few things. Will you pull that up in the message real fast? A couple things I wrote down. Are we still operating in the basic principles of faith, or have we let go of them? Amen. And a couple basic principles is, word and action, right?
Yes.
Speaking faith.
Yes.
Faith is word and action, correct?
Yes.
Test yourselves. To make sure you are what?
Solid in faith.
Don't do what?
Drift along, taking everything for granted.
Don't drift along, taking everything for granted. Give yourselves what?
Regular checkups.
Regular. Not once a year. Regular checkups. Because a lot of times we'll realize that we're really not in faith, that we're just saying it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. We're just going to be honest and talk with each other because we're family. All right?
Amen.
A lot of times we're just kind of just playing church. We're not really in faith. Because number one, a parakeet can just repeat anything. Amen. A Christian can repeat anything. A kid, what does a kid do when he starts growing up? Does he know what he's saying?
No.
Just repeating it though, ain't he?
Yeah.
See, a lot of times you can talk yourself into faith, you know, get yourself there, but a lot of times it's people just repeating.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Do we actually know what the word says? And do we actually believe it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Am I really in faith about this? Or am I just saying it? Is this head faith or is this heart faith?
Yes.
That's what we need. We need to find out. Is this head faith or is this heart faith? I truly believe this is it. This is the last time this sickness will mess with me again. This is the last time. This is the last time this pain will ever be able to get me to lay down because I'm hurting or something.
Yes. Amen.
I wrote this down too. Our words are vehicles.
Yes.
Amen. So who or what's in the passenger seat? Amen. Or if our words are vehicles, what's in the passenger seat then? Is it lack? Is it doubt? Is it unbelief? I don't know how we're going to pay this now. Man, I'm so sick. I think I'm coming down with this cold. I think I'm getting what everybody else is getting. Not me. This is what people say sometimes. Not us. Amen. We're just talking about examples, right? Amen. So our words are vehicles, and they're carrying our words for us. They're carrying it for us. Or am I speaking overflow? Am I speaking life? Am I speaking death?
Yes. Yep,
yep, yep.
Amen.
Amen. Am I still operating in faith, or am I just playing religious games? Amen. Another one is who and what influences us the most, and then who and what forms our opinions? Questions we need to ask ourselves, right? Who and what influences me? And then who and what influences my opinions? Hopefully, it's the Word of God and not a situation, not a feeling, not news, not a stock market. Hopefully, the Word of God is influencing each and every one of us. Amen. And that's where we should form our, not our own opinions, but that's where we should form our ideas and things like that, the way we think, right there from the Word, not from what man says.
Right.
Amen. Turn over to Psalms 26:2, please. You can pull it up in King James, fine. This is David. David said, examine me, who?
Lord.
And prove me. Try my reins and my what?
Amen.
Amen. When's the last time we asked God to examine us?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Examine to see if we're in the faith or not. Amen.
Amen.
Turn over to Hebrews 4:12 real fast. Let's pull that one up in the Amplified, please. Classic's fine. Hebrews 4:12, it says, For the word that God what? Is what?
Alive and full of power.
Hmm. So what is that? What is the word that God speaks? Amen. Yeah, it's everybody say Bible.
Bible.
Amen. Hallelujah. So for the word God speaks,
the Bible.
Is alive.
Yes.
And what?
Full of power.
Amen. Well, I just need more power. Some people will pray that. Some people will actually pray, God, send me more power. Amen. That's another message. Amen. Amen. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of what?
Power.
Making it active.
Operative.
What's that next word?
Energizing.
I'm just so tired all the time. Energizing. What? That word probably sums it all up right there. It's effective. It's effective. Well, it's not working for me. You're not using it right then. Because the word's effective. Word of God is effective, and it'll continue to be effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very what?
Thoughts and purposes of our
heart. Amen. 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 All right, let's turn over to 2 Timothy, please. 3. 2 Timothy 3. How many of y'all got a lot from those meetings this weekend?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God we got them recorded. Man, because that Sunday night on the light.
Yes. Amen.
I'll have to listen to that about 8,000 times. Yes. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:1, sorry. Amplified. Sorry, I didn't tell you. But understand this, that in the last days will come set in perilous what?
Time.
Of great stress and hard
to deal with and hard to bear.
And hard to bear. Amen. Amen. Hard to deal with and hard to bear. Does it say, number one, it tells you perilous times are hard to deal with and hard to bear, correct? Does it say it's impossible to deal with and to bear? Amen. So I love the fact that it's given us, number one, an idea. Look, in the last days, it's going to be perilous times of great stress and trouble. Hard to deal with and hard to bear. But it doesn't say one thing about it being impossible. Amen. Because, you know, some people are like, well, I'm not going to read that. I'm not going to have hard times. Well, the Bible talks about too much that in the last days there's going to be hard times and things like that. If nothing else, Satan wants to kill you. Are we saying that we're going to continually have hard times? No, because as long as we're in faith and we know the word, even though it might be a hard time going on, we don't look like it's a hard time going on. Everybody else does, but we are still able to smile, keep moving forward like nothing is going on. Why? Because the word of God lets me know that I live and I have a perpetual victory. I live in a perpetual victory parade. And so if I just say, you know what, look, I know that hard times are coming. I know that it's going to be tough on my flesh. I know that ahead of time.
Yes.
It's not going to move me, though. That's the thing. It's not going to move me, though. See, that kid, he started having the thoughts, man, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. This is Stanford. Only 5% of people that apply get into this place.
Yes.
You know what? I'm going to do something that I know I can get into. I'm going to do something that I know I can pay for. How many times have we cut God off from supplying all of our needs because we said, you know what, God, you supply all of my needs, but I know I can get this one.
Come on
now.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We are moving on, ain't we? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It says hard to deal with and hard to bear. It doesn't say anything about impossible to deal with or impossible to bear. Amen. There might be hard times. Who cares? Who cares?
Amen.
You know, I really have realized, I've heard people say it a lot, but here lately I really have realized you can't be a little wimp and be a Christian. You really can't. You got to have some kind of backbone to you. You really do. Because if every time Satan come up and just try to knock your feet out from underneath you and you fall down, I don't know what we're going to do now. Oh, gosh, look at this now. Look at that. I thought we had had it, but we don't. Amen. Well, who cares if he knocks your feet out? Put your hands down, get on your knees, and start getting right back up. Yeah. Say, you know what? You knocked me down. Look, I got in a decent fight one time, and a dude knocked me down. And so I made sure I told him, you knocked me down. I'll give you that. But I guarantee every time you see me, you're going to have to prove that every single time. Yeah, spiritual. Let's get over in the spiritual. But I'm serious. You got to have a backbone to be a Christian. You can't just run around whining about everything. Devil's after me again. He's trying to kill me. Duh. But what about being a Christian? And in the Bible, have you read that it says once you get saved, that's it. Satan leaves you alone. You got to have a backbone about you. You can't be afraid of him. Because a defeated person, all they're going to do is mouth. Right. A defeated person, all they can do is mouth. They're just trying to get you to do something so that they can be able to give them a better advantage, a foothold. Right? Because he can't physically do nothing to any of us. He cannot. Not only that, the authority that God gave Jesus, who else has it? And we're sitting at the right hand, a place of authority. And so you need to stop trying. People try to talk about the devil right here. You need to recognize where he's at. If you realize Satan is under my feet and that's where he has to stay, don't try to talk to him here or here. God is the head. Amen. Satan is defeated. That's it. And we can't walk around all just like a bunch of sissies, like a bunch of babies, like little kids. Seriously, like somebody just, you remember if you had little kids, like one of them might hit, and then the other one just cry for no reason because either they're just tired, they're hungry. Don't be a baby. Yeah, feed. Feed on the word. Amen. Go to 14, please. Verse 14. But as for you, do what?
Continue to hold to the things that you have learned and of which you are convinced, knowing from whom you learned them.
Amen. But as for you, continue to what? Let go?
No, sir, hold.
Continue to hold to the things that you have what?
Learned.
And of which you are what?
Convinced.
Amen. Convinced.
Yes.
Amen. We need to get convinced on healing just like we are salvation. We need to get convinced on prosperity just like we are salvation. Amen. Will you pull that up in the Passion, please? Verse 1. We'll read verse 1. That's fine. 14. 1. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. 14 is fine. Yet you must continue to what?
Advance in strength.
Amen. All right. So you must continue to advance. Advance. So I looked it up. I like words, right? So I looked it up. It means move forward in a powerful way.
Amen.
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 To progress and become better and more developed.
Amen.
Progress and become better and more developed. Hallelujah. To improve or make better. Advance. Advance to make progress. Amen. Advance to move towards in a threatening manner.
Ooh, that's good.
to move towards in a threatening manner. See, because once you know, just like, let's say you're, well, I'll take my brother, for example. I know it's fighting stories, and I apologize. I was a few, like three grades underneath him, I believe. Joy. And a kid a couple grades above me hit me in the nose one day. And I didn't realize it and it started bleeding. And when I looked up, my brother Joy was standing beside me. He somehow, from the ground, this kid was at least a foot or two taller than me. And my brother, back in those days, wasn't very tall. He had to believe God to get as tall as he is. Trust me. Am I lying? Trust me. He had to use his faith because he was. But anyways, we're standing there and this guy hits me. And I went like that. And by the time I looked up, Joy, my older brother, jumped up, wrapped his legs around this guy's chest and rode him to the ground. And I'm just standing there in shock like he's crazy. But he advanced towards in a threatening manner. That's not a good analogy, but it's going after it. It's like if somebody took your kid, you would be moving forward in a threatening manner. So the same way that we think about somebody's got my kid, he's trying to take my healing. He's trying to take my health. He's trying to take my victory. He's trying to give me depression. No, I'm going after the things that belong to me in a threatening manner. That means if Satan tries to come up against me, he's going to have just a bad, rude awakening whenever I get to where I'm going. Because he might try to stop, but he can't. He almost stopped that kid, and then God asked him, "What are you doing? What are you doing with your faith? I thought you was believing for this." And he said it kind of shook him up, said, "You know what? Yeah, Stanford, that's what I'm believing for. That's what I need to continue to stay after." A middle school kid. And then he got into high school and believed God for the finances. Y'all remember that other kid? I believe it was with Dr. T.D. Jakes. Ended up believing God for a house. Paid for. Got the title. Because T.D. Jakes was just talking to all the youth one day. And he said, "What you want?" He said, "I already got it." He's like, "Well, what'd you get?" He said, "I got a house." He's like, "Excuse me, what?" Say, "Yeah, I believe God for a house and I got it." He's like, "You got the title to a house." "Yeah." "How?" "I believe God for the house and I got it." He said, "Well, what are you going to do with it?" He said, "I'm going to give it to my mom." He said, "What are you going to do then?" "I'm sowing to my mom so I can get a mansion." A 16-year-old. See, Satan will try to stop us in our thinking. "Well, you really think you're good enough for that?" That's one big one. "You really think you're good enough for that? What does me being good enough have anything to do with it?" God took all of that already. Jesus decided that for me on the cross. I am the righteousness. Amen. I am the righteousness. I am not the weak, the fimble, the lazy. Amen. I go after what belongs to me in a threatening manner. Amen. Whenever I was in Iraq, I was in the infantry, so we did a lot of door kicking, right? We did a lot of coming in and getting people. Well, if any one of us would have ever stuttered in a doorway, so we got like four or five people lined up. And you're just, stand up here, please, real fast. Turn around that way.
What's happening?
Just stand like that. Yes. Play like you got a gun. All right. And so you're this, you can't even play like you're moving. So you're this, no, just stay there. So you are this close to the person in front of you. You're ready. You got your weapon ready because you're about to advance on this door right here. Oh, snap. Son, it came into play real fast. But if we, so you can sit down, thank you. So we're that close, we're ready. And as soon as that door breaches, you're moving in and you're clearing. Well, if I go into this door and I see somebody and stutter, how many of us just died? See, you can't be a weak Christian. Satan might look big, sound big, and look like he's going to kill you, but he can't. And we got to have that realization on the inside of us. We just have to know he's not big enough. He can't. He is not allowed to. I have to give him permission, and I don't. And so advancing, I mean, we'd be after it. We would advance quick, and because I really enjoyed doing that kind of stuff, so I did it with my guys a lot, just practicing it. Why? Because number one, practice makes perfect. Muscle memory. You'll be moving along and you'll just be doing stuff, but you'll be so tired you're not even thinking about it. But yet that muscle memory, you just know what to do automatically. See, once you get into the Word and you just start reading and studying it, even though you might get knocked down or something, muscle memory kicks in. You start going, thank you, God. I am the healed. I am the healed. I don't have to live in defeat. I don't have to live poor. I don't have to live sick. Amen. Advance. Advance. How did it say it? To move towards in a threatening manner. In a threatening manner. See, that's what Satan's done, and it's frightened a lot of people. He's advanced in a threatening manner, and we've thought, oh man, he's big. I don't know if God can get me out of this. I'm not sure God is able to heal this. I just might have to deal with this because you know it was in the family line. And so he's convinced people, because where is it talks about it? He roams as a roaring lion? As? Does it say he is a roaring lion? He thinks he's bigger than what he is. That's the problem. And so he's thrown up facade. It's the fun and buzz. They sound the same to me. He throws it up, and so people are like, man, that I guess I can't. That is pretty big, you know. No, it ain't. Because we don't mind dreaming. We don't mind looking. Amen. Advancing towards in a threatening manner. Amen. You know, a lot of times in the military, too, that their theory is every three soldier to one enemy, right? And so that's just how they fight battles. They want three soldiers to one enemy. And so you start showing up in a threatening manner, it does frighten a lot of people. Sure. Amen. So going into Iraq, you know, we was coming in hot in 2003 whenever it first kicked off. We was coming in pretty hot, gotten one decent gunfight and stuff, and we were moving forward, and they said, all right, we got to go take the airport, the Baghdad airport. And so we started just heading that way. And once they seen the convoy and all the American soldiers, guess what they did? We didn't have to fight one person in that airport, one person, because they all left. Because we was coming in hot. We was coming in a threatening manner. And the weapons and the things we had was way better and bigger than theirs. And so that's how we got to look at it when we're going against Satan. I have the Word that's stronger than anything Satan can do. And as long as every time something comes up, I'm answering it with the Word, it's a perpetual victory parade. Amen. To move towards in a threatening manner. Amen. A couple other ones. Whenever we was doing missions and things like that, we had fun with it. So we'd paint our faces. We'd find something crazy. And so we'd paint our faces like that. Like, it'd take like an hour or two to get my face painted, right? Because I'd get duct tape and put lines. It was just, we had fun doing it, right? But, and the point behind that was, number one, we're just having fun. But also, at 2 o'clock in the morning or at midnight, you see somebody standing over your bed with this on, pointing a gun at your face, what are you going to do? Start fighting? You hear somebody just kick down the front door, all of a sudden they come in hot like that. What are you going to do? Start fighting?
Nope.
Friendly, pimp. Friendly. See, the Satan, he's just got disguises and masks, but he can't do nothing to us. He's a defeated foe.
Amen.
And we got to know that. He's a defeated foe. He's a defeated foe. Defeated. That means already lost. That's it. He's a defeated foe. He's lost. And so this is like his last little hoorah, trying to get us to bite, trying to get us to listen to what he's saying. The Brother Hagin, I believe, said one of Satan's greatest weapons is the power of suggestion.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Suggestion. Oh, man, I think you've got a bad knee. And then you'll feel a pain. Ooh, my knee does hurt. Man, is my knee bad? He'd suggest something to us, and then we'll take it. Not us, amen. Some people will take it and then just start going with it.
Yes.
Amen, but not us, right? We're the healed. So since we're advancing, moving forward in a powerful way, right?
Yes.
Moving forward. Will you pull that back up, please, real fast? Advance in strength with what?
The truth.
The truth. What's the truth?
The word.
Man. You must continue to advance in what, though?
Strength.
And strength. God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. God is the strength of my life. Amen. What is that? Psalms 25:3 or something? Right in there, 23 or 25 or 26, something like that. God is the strength of my life. Amen. Advance in strength with the truth wrapped around your heart, being what? By God, that He's the one who has truly taught you all these things. Amen. We should never quit. We shouldn't. Amen. I think I told y'all before, but I had a buddy. He went to Ranger school before I ended up going pre-Ranger and stuff. But he told me before I went, he said, look, best advice I can give. Oh, okay. This last story. He said, best advice I can give you is quit in the morning. I'm like, what? He said, quit in the morning. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, well, I wanted to quit every single day in that school. He said, because they starve you, because they want to see what you're made of. They starve you. They don't give you enough sleep because they don't want somebody that's just going to give up whenever times get hard.
Right.
They don't want somebody that's just going to give up because they missed one or two meals. They want somebody to be able to think straight even though they only had 2 hours of sleep.
Yes.
Amen. And so he said, I wanted to quit every day. But I would go to bed. I'd say, you know what? I'll quit first thing in the morning. I'll quit in the morning. I ain't going to quit tonight. I'll quit in the morning, though. And so he's convinced. Morning time, I'm just going to quit. I'm going to call it good. He said, so we'd go to sleep. He said, I wake up in the morning, be like, man, it's a new day. I think I could do it today.
Amen.
Never quit on just all of a sudden because your emotions or everything gets high.
Right.
Quit in the morning.
Yeah. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. He said, and then morning time came. He's like, you know what? I can go another day. I can do this again. Because see, he's refreshed now. He's back to himself. He's not just thinking off of emotions. He's not thinking off of his feelings. Amen. He's like, you know what? I can do it now. And so he'd continue on, made it all the way through with that. Amen. Well, Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name. And we do thank you for your word, Father God. We thank you that we will protect it, we'll guide it and keep it. We won't allow Satan to come immediately and steal it, like it says in Mark 4, but we'll guard it, Father God. We'll continue to meditate on it and to continue to grow from it. And we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said,
amen. Amen.